Well, it's a pleasure to be with you here this evening. And while it's a pleasure to see everyone here, I'd like to especially welcome some friends from Australia. It's a pleasure to have you and to see you again. If you could turn, please, in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. To the book of Revelation and the chapter 21. And with God's word open before us, let us bow in a word of prayer. And let each of us ask. I encourage you to ask that God will speak to you. You'll have a word in season. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank that we can come to the one who is able to help. And Father, I thank that we can come to the one who is willing to help. Father, thy word tells that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and that breedeth not, and it shall be given him. Heavenly Father, thou dost know the great need that I have. I ask thee now that thy words be pleased, to cleanse me afresh. Lord, thou dost know how much I sin against thee every day. I ask thee, Father, that thou wouldst keep thy promise, that if I confess my sin, that thou art faithful and just to forgive me my sin and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. And I ask thee, Father, now that thou wouldst be pleased to fill me afresh with God the Holy Spirit. And let thy word, Father, come forth simply. Lord, may it come forth in a way that will be understood. Father, I ask thee also that it will come forth with thy Holy Spirit's life, and thy Holy Spirit's power. Father, I ask that thou wouldst have a word in season to everyone here, those who are saved and those who are not saved. I ask thee, Father, have a word in season to encourage thy children, and Father, especially to those who are not saved. Father, I ask thee, Lord, that you'd open up their eyes to see the situation that they are in. They are sinners. They are in need of a Savior. And Father, let them see the wonderful and the beautiful Lord Jesus Christ tonight, the one who is holy, the one who is pure. And Father, I cry, the one who offers complete forgiveness and complete salvation in himself. And Father, by thy grace, I ask thee, be pleased to draw sinners to him tonight. Lord, that we'll be rejoicing in heaven and rejoicing here over a sinner that repents and trusts in Christ. Father, we ask for thy name to be glorified. We ask it now in Jesus' precious name, the blood he shed for us, and indeed the prayers he's now praying for us. Amen. Revelation chapter 21. And if you begin reading with me, please, at verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Amen. I will end the reading there at the end of verse 8. I believe there is no subject that I have spoken on more in the past few years than indeed the subject of heaven. And while I have spoken on it several times, every time I speak on it, it thrills my heart afresh. And I mean that sincerely. It truly thrills my heart afresh as I think of what God has waiting for all those who trust in Him, for all those who love Him, and for all those who are seeking to live for Him. I began to study about what heaven is a couple of years ago whenever I was handing out some tracts with a few friends in Belfast in Shaftesbury Square. And while I was handing out some tracts, a young man came up to me and he took a leaflet from me and he told me he was an atheist, and we had a good conversation together. He told me what he thought and I told him just simply what I had experienced. I told him that I realized I was a sinner, that I had fallen short of God's standard. I had lied, had disobeyed my parents, had taken His name in emptiness. And as such, that I deserved eternal punishment. However, I told that young man, that young atheist, that Jesus Christ, He came down to this earth. And while He didn't have to, He did so willingly. And He took upon Himself all the sin of His people. And there He suffered the wrath of God in our place. Rising again from the dead, He ascended up into heaven. And today He promises, whosoever shall call in His name shall be saved. And I told that young man that I was sure of heaven, not because of anything I had ever done, but because of what Christ had done. And the conversation went on for about an hour or so, and the young man, he asked me, "You know, Paul, you talk about heaven. Tell me, what is heaven like?" I didn't know what to say to him. I knew he was saved, I knew he was going to heaven, but I never thought about heaven, and perhaps you're the same this evening. That night I went home, and the Lord impressed my heart to begin to study about heaven. And tonight I want to look just very simply at heaven. I want to look at what it is, what it's like, what those will do who go there. Whenever I look at those three things, I want to ask you a question. Do you want to go there? Do you want to go to heaven? You may think that's a very simple answer or a very simple question to answer, but I tell you, it may not be as simple and as straightforward as you think. Some of you may have heard of what I'm about to say tonight, but as it blesses my heart every time I think upon it, it's my prayer that God will bless your heart even afresh as you think upon heaven. The first thing I want us to look at is what heaven is. And this evening, while I'm not going to go through Revelation 21 necessarily in the sense of to exposit it, yet I want to just look at Scripture as a whole and see what it teaches us about heaven. So the first question, what is heaven? Well, the first thing we learn about heaven in Scripture is that it is a physical place. You think in your minds to Genesis chapter 1, the verse 1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That word heaven there in the Hebrew can also be translated as heavens. And the Bible goes on to tell us that there are three heavens. There's the first heaven, that's the sky where the birds fly. The second heaven, that's the universe, where indeed the planets and where all the stars are. But then there's a third heaven. And it's beyond all that. And that's where God dwells in a magnified way. And you know, just as this earth is physical, just as the first heaven is physical and the second heaven is a physical place, So the third heaven is a physical place. Some people today, they try and say, you know, whenever you die, you just go to some psychological subconsciousness. Just go to a state of bliss and peace, but it's just all in your mind. God tells us very clearly in His Word that such teaching is wrong. He tells us very clearly that heaven is a physical place. Not only from Genesis 1, verse 1, but also throughout Scripture. You think about Acts chapter 1, the verse 11, where we're told about how Jesus Christ, after He had paid for all the sins of His people, how He went to the Mount Olive, and there He ascended into heaven. Now, how can someone who ascends from a physical earth with a physical body ascend into a state of emotion? He had to ascend into a physical place. And you know, that's the first thing we find about heaven, it's a physical place. We also learn something else about heaven, and that it is a divine place. What I simply mean by that is that it is a place characterized by the presence of God. You see, it's true that God's presence is everywhere. You may not sense His presence this evening, but God's presence is right here. God's presence is in fullness everywhere. However, the Bible tells us that in heaven His presence is revealed without measure. You think of such scriptures, such as Matthew chapter 6, where the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Such scriptures, such as 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 21, where Solomon prays to the Lord and he says, "Lord, hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven." And you also think of Revelation chapter 21, the verse 23, where we're told about heaven. We're told that it has no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lord Jesus Christ, He fills heaven with His presence. There's not a single place you can go in heaven where His presence is not there in fullness. Whenever we take those two truths, that heaven is a physical place and heaven is a divine place, it's a place where all those who go there will see Christ face to face. It's a place where you will see your Creator. It's a place where you will see the One who died on the cross. It's a place where you will see the One who has given that great invitation, that whosoever shall call on His name shall be saved. You will see the One who promises that if you come to Him and you trust in Him, that He will uphold you, that He will keep you. Whenever you fall, He will pick you up again. It's a place where you will go home and you will see Jesus Christ, and where you will dwell with Him forever. That's if you're saved. You will walk with Him and talk with Him. Whenever we think of those true truths, can I just ask you the simple question, do you want to go to heaven? As you sit there this evening, do you want to see your Creator? Do you want to see Him face to face? Do you want to walk with Him? Do you want to talk to Him? Do you want to be in His presence while there's fullness of joy? Do you want to be at His right hand where there are pleasures forevermore? Think upon it this evening. Do you want to go to heaven? We've seen what heaven is, but let me ask a second question. What is heaven like? Scripture tells us that heaven is also a holy place. You look with me at Revelation chapter 21 and the verse 2. And there we read, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Heaven is a holy place. That word holy means set apart. And you know, that makes heaven very, very different from this earth. You see, while heaven is a place of holiness, this earth is a place of sinfulness. You think back to Genesis, where Adam, who is the representative of all mankind, of you and me, where he willingly rebelled against his Creator. And the Bible tells that sin came into the world. Indeed, that God not only brought death upon man, but he brought a curse upon this earth. You think upon the results of this, of that curse on this earth. You think of the sickness that there is. This earth is a place that's filled with sickness. I'm sure there's not a single person here who doesn't know someone who has been sick or indeed hasn't been sick themselves. This place, this earth, is a place littered with sickness. You think of AIDS, asthma, cystic fibrosis, influenza, meningitis, rubella, hepatitis, cancer. Many, many more could be mentioned. This place on earth is a place that's filled with sorrow. It's a place that's filled with pain physically. It's also a place that's filled with pain emotionally. You think of the disappointments. You think of the heartaches. You think of the crying and the tears that there is in this earth. Not only is this place, this earth, filled with sickness, but because of Adam's rebellion, it's a place that's filled with sin. It's a place where men, instead of exalting God, and instead of being content with what God has blessed them in life, it's a place that's filled with jealousy and selfishness. It's a place that's filled with confusion and deceit, where people love to tell lies, where people love to tell half-truths. You think of the hurt that that causes. It's a place of perversity and lust. It's a place of hatred and bitterness. It's a place, as I said, where God is not exalted, where God, our Creator, is not loved, where He is not obeyed, but where men do that which is right in their own eyes. And it's a place where our Savior's name is cursed. What a grieving thing that is to the child of God. And that's what this earth is like. It's a place that's filled with sin. But you know, if you look with me at Revelation chapter 21, the verse 4, we're told about heaven that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And while this earth, as I said, is a place of sinfulness, yet heaven is a place of holiness. It's where indeed the consequences of Adam's sin, where there's been a curse in this earth, the former things has passed away. There is no more sickness. There is no more crying. There is no more pain, emotionally or physically. There's no more sorrow. Can you even begin to try and imagine that? But while it's also without sickness, yet it's a place without sin. The former things are passed away. It's a place where people will never exalt themselves. It's not a place where people will be discontent. It's not a place where people will be bitter. It's not a place where people will be filled with anger. It's not a place where people will steal. It's not a place where people will lie and deceive and confuse. It's a place where God will be truly exalted. Because everyone who is there, both angel and man alike, they will have a perfect heart to praise God. So the Bible tells that all those who put their trust in Christ, while they're saved once and forever in this earth, and since they're justified, they're completely forgiven and they're clothed with Christ's perfection, His righteousness. Yet they're not perfect in this life, and they go through a stage of sanctification or indeed of purification. However, whenever the child of God gets to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ will perfect them. Forgive them that perfect heart, whereby there'll not be a single taint of sin, not even a single taint of corruption. And if you're saved this evening, can I encourage you to think upon that? You will be able to praise your Savior as you see Him with a perfect heart. There'll be no limitations, there'll be no holding back, there'll be no sin that you have to fight with. You'll have a perfect heart. You'll have a perfect body. You'll never be tired. You'll never have any aches. You'll never have any pains. You'll have a perfect body with which to serve Him. Heaven is not a place where it's about us. Heaven is a place about Christ. And so can I ask you this evening, do you want to go there? Do you want to go to a place that is without sin? And you see, that's why I said that question may not be as straightforward as you may think. See, if you're here tonight and you want to hold on to your sin, you don't want to give your life to Christ, you don't want to repent, you don't want to trust Him, well, can I ask you, do you want to go to heaven? Because heaven's a place without sin. Heaven is a place where you will praise Christ. Heaven is a place where you will love Christ. And can I tell you, it'll be a wonderful place. But do you want to go there? See, that's the question. Do you want to go there? And if you say in your heart, well, I do want to go to heaven, well, why don't you right here, right now, cry to Christ and turn from all your sin and ask Him to save you? If you want to go to heaven, if you want to be saved from hell, if you want to be saved, if you want to enjoy eternity with Christ, will you trust in Him now? Do you want to go to heaven? It's a real place. It's a physical place. It's a divine place filled with Christ's presence. And it's a holy place where there's no sin but perfect holiness. Well, that one last thing I want to ask. We've seen what heaven is. We've seen what it's like. But one last question. What will those who go there do? Have you ever thought about that? But whenever we look at Scripture, we see that heaven is a place of purpose. Some people, they think that whenever they get to heaven, from what they've seen in TV adverts, that all they'll do is sit in a cloud with a harp and play. Some think that they'll just sit and eat Philadelphia cheese. But you know, while some people think that heaven is a place where you sit and do nothing, the Bible tells that heaven is a place of purpose. It's a place of activity. And while there's many details that you and I don't know because it's not revealed in God's Word, yet there are some things that are revealed. One thing we are told that people will do in heaven, and it's been mentioned already, and that is that they will praise the Lord. They will sing His praises. They will magnify His name as they gaze and look upon Him. Revelation chapters 4 and 5, we're given a picture, or indeed a vision of heaven. And as such, if that's what heaven is like now, we've no doubt that heaven will be like that forever. Let me just paint in your mind's eye what is taught in Revelation 4 and 5. Just take a little break here from the message. Let me try and paint in your mind's eye the picture. Imagine after this meeting is over, you shake your hand at the door with Mr. Brown or myself, and then you get in the car and you head on your way home. Whenever you arrive home, you get into your house and you just put your step in through the front door. I want you to imagine it just like the Apostle John. You're caught up to heaven and you're given a vision of it. There you see a great room that you're in. It's a room that's filled with light. And as you look ahead in front of you, you see a great throne. And the one who sits upon it, can you see it? Can you imagine it? You see a great throne in front of you, and the one who sits upon it, you instinctively know to be the Lord. As your eyes adjust to the light, around about that throne you see 24 elders, and they're dressed in robes of pure white with crowns of gold in their head. And there's also four strange angelic-like creatures. They stand before the throne. And as you stand there, and as you gaze upon the Lord, you hear these four strange angelic-like creatures. And you hear them begin to sing. And they sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And as they exalt the name of Christ, these 24 elders who are dressed in robes of pure white, the Bible tells that they cast their crowns at Jesus' feet. And they begin to praise the Lord and they say, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." The Bible then tells us, and can you imagine it, standing there, the Bible tells us that round about are 10,000 upon thousands of angels. There they begin to sing praise to the Lamb who was slain. Do you see there the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who left the splendor of heaven to come down to this cursed earth? Do you see the Lamb of God, who left the worship of angels to come here to be spat upon, to be beaten by men? Do you see there the Lamb of God who went to that cross? Do you see him there, the one who took upon himself all our sin? Do you see him there suffering the wrath of God his Father for every single one of your sins? Do you see it this evening? Do you see it by faith? Paying for your lies, paying for your acts of stealing, paying for your disobedience, paying for your immoral thoughts. There his blood flowing died. But then rising again from the dead, he ascended up into heaven. And there he sits on the throne. And as the angels begin to praise his name, you hear it and you begin to join in with them. And we read that they begin to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Revelation chapter 7 tells that not only do the angels praise, and that there's a great multitude which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. And they stand before the throne and before the Lamb, and they cry with a loud voice. They praise his name. Revelation chapter 11 and chapter 15, we read that they sing, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thy King of saints. All nations shall come and worship before thee." What will we do in heaven? We will praise the Lord, the one who loved us, the one who lived for us, the one who suffered for us, the one who died for us, the one who saved us and has ever kept us, and the one who has taken us, who will take us home to be with him. That's only if you're saved. Can he ask you this evening, do you want to go to heaven? It'll be a place where Christ will be praised. Some people think, well, will you not get bored praising Christ? The answer is no. Because you see, you'll forever learn more and more and more and more and more and more about the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll learn more of his love. You'll learn more of his greatness. You'll learn more of his grace and his goodness. Your motivation, your desire, your heart, your love, the praising will never cease. But it will last for all eternity. Do you want to go to heaven? Another thing we're told that people will do in heaven is that they will reign with the Lord. You see, in Revelation chapter 22, if you look with me, Revelation chapter 2 in the verse 5, we're told that there shall be no night there, and that they, the people of God, those who are saved, they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Matthew chapter 25, the Lord Jesus Christ gives a parable and therefore gives an illustration of what this reigning is. Some of you will know it. He gives the parable of a master who has many possessions. And he goes into a far country, but before he goes into a far country, he gives responsibilities to three of his servants. To one servant he gives 5 talents, to another servant he gives 2, and to the third he gives 1. He gives him responsibilities to look after his possessions here in this earth. Then whenever the master comes back again, he looks and he sees that the first servant who had 5 talents, well, he's gained another 5 and he's now got 10. The second servant, he had 2 talents and he's now gained another 2. That makes 4. And Jesus Christ tells, and indeed the master says to these 2 servants, individually, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. As thou hast been faithful over these few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." What will people do in heaven? Well, just as God gives his people responsibilities in this earth, responsibilities as parents, responsibilities as children, responsibilities as to pray for their loved ones, to pray for their friends, to pray for the church, responsibilities to be a light and a witness. As the Lord gives us responsibilities here in this earth, if we are faithful, what a motivation this is, child of God, if we are faithful by God's grace and strength, well then he will give us more responsibilities in heaven to serve him, to reign with him. You might think, pardon, did you just say we're going to have to work in heaven? Yes, that's right. Heaven's not a place of laziness, it's a place of work. And I can tell you that's a wonderful thing, because there's nothing more boring than doing nothing. And the greatest joy anybody can ever have on this earth is where they live for their Savior, where they live for their Creator, where they seek to enjoy Him as they obey Him. The joy is not in sin. Joy is in righteousness. It's living for God. It's obeying Him. It's serving Him in thankfulness. And as you do so, you know His help. You know His presence. You know His strength. But how much more so in heaven, where we'll never feel, we'll never have to repeat anything or replace anything. We will do it perfectly every time. The talents that God has given us, we'll use them to their fullest potential. No hindrance. No limitation. We'll use them perfectly for Him. What a place of joy as we enjoy Him and we live for Him and serve Him. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to serve Christ? Do you want to live for Him? Well then, get right with Christ now. One last thing we're told about what people will do in heaven is that they will rest in God. You might say, well, how can you rest? Sure, you've just said it's a place of activity. You've just said it's a place of work and service and reigning. You've just said it's a place of praise. How is it a place of rest? Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse 10, speaking about heaven, we're told that there remaineth therefore a rest. And that word rest is important to understand. It's a word for Sabbath. There remaineth therefore a rest or a Sabbath for the people of God. And just as the Lord's Day is not a day where people sit around and do nothing, but it's a place where people focus on the Lord. They focus on His beauty, His glory, His love, His goodness. And as they do so, they're refreshed, they're strengthened, and they're revived. That's what it means to be a place of rest. It's a place of refreshment. And heaven will be a place of perfect rest. It's a place where you will see Christ. It's a place where you will see His beauty, His glory, His purity. And as you see His love, you'll be forever refreshed and revived in your heart. Your energy will never wane. You'll never stop praising Him. You'll never stop serving Him. There's no night there. The glory and the joy of living for Him, it will remain and it will be constant forever. Do you want to go to heaven? Just as I close, that question, do you want to go to heaven, is just very simply, do you want Jesus Christ? You see, tonight, you and I have a decision to make. After we die, after this life, there are two places, heaven or hell. There's no purgatory, there's no other place, there's no ceasing or annihilation. There's heaven or there's hell. We've seen what heaven is. Let me just very, very quickly tell you what hell is. What will people do in hell? Well, all they will ever see is darkness. They'll never see sunlight again. They will never see anything that's beautiful. All they'll see is darkness. What will they hear? They'll never hear children laughing. They'll never hear beautiful singing. All they'll hear is the wailing of men and women as they cry in pain. What will people touch in hell? They'll never touch anything that's beautiful. They'll never touch silk or wool again. All they'll ever touch is a real and a literal and an intense fire, where their body will forever burn. What will they taste? They'll never taste anything that's beautiful or delightful. They'll never have a beautiful, refreshing drink again. All they will ever have is a dry mouth, as dry as sand. What will they ever feel within inside themselves? Will they ever have joy? Will they ever have peace? No, we're told hell is a place where there's gnashing of teeth. You think of one who gnashes, someone who's bitter, someone who's angry. If you've ever been angry or bitter, you know that it eats up within you. It's a horrible feeling. Tonight you have a choice. You have hell, or you have heaven. A real physical place. A place where God is exalted and loved. A place where His presence fills it. Place where you will serve and live with Him forever. What will you choose tonight? Perhaps you say, I want to go to heaven. Well, listen to the words of Christ. Mark chapter 1, verse 15, He says about the kingdom of heaven, if you want to enter it, repent. Turn away from all your sin and believe the gospel. Trust in the good news that Christ died for you. Trust in the good news that He will save you. And if you repent and you continue to repent, and if you believe and you continue to believe, Christ promises you, you shall be saved. Perhaps you say, but I've rejected Christ too many times. I've sinned too many times. Christ says, whosoever, no matter what you've done, whosoever cometh unto Me, I will in no wise cast out. As you walk out those doors this evening, you make a choice. What will you do? Will you come to Christ? Or will you reject Him? I plead with you. I asked Christ to save me. It was over 20 years ago. And I can tell you He's a wonderful Savior. Come to Him tonight, and He will save you. Amen.
We'll bow together in prayer. Gracious Father, we leave all of the issues of this meeting in Thy hand. Thy servant has put before us life and death. We pray that those in the building unsaved will flee for refuge onto the hope in Christ that is set before us. Give grace to close with Him, to embrace Him, to call upon His name, and be saved. May there not be those who by their actions choose death, choose eternal death, choose what has been contrasted with heaven here before us tonight, and end up in hell, having rejected Jesus Christ. Come and speak on to hearts, glorify Thy Son, lift Him up, in our minds we pray, and bring souls into the kingdom of grace and fit them for glory above. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.